My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, we all like new things. We like new things because they're exciting, because they're different. It could be exactly the same as something we've used in the past, and yet it's new. We will find some kind of enjoyment in being able to transition because we like that which is new. And let's face it, we have different opportunities. Before, you could be surrounded by babies all the time. You still are going to want to see and hold the new one because it's new. You want to have that connection that you've never had before. You want to have that bond. A new house, a new car. We've had houses and cars in the past. It doesn't matter. It's new. It's exciting. And we want to take part in it. Today, as we take a look at the book of Revelation, we get a wonderful, real promise. Because God here says, I am going to make everything new for you. We won't have the same problems with what we had before. Maybe that's one of the reasons we like new things too. It's because as things get old, they don't quite work the same way they did when they're new. Maybe they've got a couple kinks to work out now, a couple difficulties. You never know how long they're going to continue to last. You need to replace it before you have a problem. And yet, if you get something new, you shouldn't have those problems. They should work as intended. Here's the promise of our God as He reveals all of this to John through that revelation he received late in his life, that God would make everything new. Because He had given a wonderful world, a beautiful world. He'd given us life and breath. And then sin came. And that which was new and that which was perfect wasn't anymore. And along with it come all kind of trouble and problem and difficulty. That's our sure foundation and hope. In fact, our surest hope is that everything will be made new. I want to take a look once again here at the reading from Revelation. If you notice in your bulletin, you don't have to follow along, but in there in the bulletin, under where the sermon is recorded, is that sermon study guide. And there's an outline that I want us to at least be aware of. As I read through these verses, see what God promises to make new. And realize just how fullness this promise of our God is in everything that is here. Beginning with verse 1, it says, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. A new heaven and a new earth, he says. A new home created by Him for you. Verse 2. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What beauty and what splendor is there. Our new condition before God, no longer His enemy, but really His pride and His joy. Verse 3. And from the throne I heard a loud voice that said, Look, God's dwelling is with people. He will dwell with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them, and He will be their God. What a change! God, who could have nothing to do with us before because of our sin. God, who said, I can't be near you, and you can't be near me for your own benefit and good. And yet, we will live with Him. What a beautiful new relationship we can have with our God, because He makes all things new. Verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain because the former things have passed away. What a change in life. A new life. No more tears, no more pain, no more trial, no more trouble. Everything good and everything perfect the way He wants it to be. And then finally, verses 5 and 6. The one who was seated on the throne said to me, Look, I am making everything new. He also said, Write, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give freely from the spring of the water of life. What confidence we can have in that promise. Confidence we never had before. Because he says, I will make it new, I will do it. And because I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, I have every capability and every desire to do so. What beauty here. We live in a world that, let's face it, it's getting old. Not just because certain things don't work the way God wanted them to, but it's getting really old for each and every one of us to have to live with all of the trouble and the trial and the problems that have been brought about because of sin. To hear our God with the utmost confidence say, and I will make it new for you. What kind of a joy does that bring to you? Specifically, what is it that you long for and look forward to? If God's going to make everything new, what does that mean for you? What does it mean for all of us? I'm sure you can analyze, take a look at your own life and realize that there are areas that it would be really nice if God would make that new. How many of you take medication? I do, every morning. Why? Because this body, as much of a wonderful gift of God, lives in a sin-corrupted world, and so too is corrupted. Allergens, cholesterol, blood pressure. Every day. Because if not, it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. You have something similar? What joy is there in the fact that God says, I'm going to make that new. No more will you have problems with it. You won't have to worry about it anymore. I'm going to take that which was crafted by my hand that was supposed to be perfect and was supposed to last but has been corrupted because of sin, sin in the world, sin from us, and I'm going to make that new and no longer will it be a problem. How about all of the tears, the pain, the heartache, and the trial that come with everyday life? Just having to live in a world that we know doesn't work the way God wants it to, and we as Christians who hold on to Him have to deal with the fallout of that. With pain, with sweat, with work, you will work the ground. That was what God had said would happen after the fall into sin. And it's true. The stress and problems that come with just trying to make ends meet, with just trying to live our lives. It isn't easy anymore. Adam and Eve, you're supposed to take care of the garden. How hard is it to take care of a garden when literally every morning and every evening the streams rise up in a gentle way and water all the crops? And then they recede. And there's no weeds yet. Your job that easy? It could be. Because God will make everything new. And we don't have to worry about the stress and the deadlines and the problems. How about the loss of loved ones? It's fitting, especially today. We talk about that All Saints Day as we remember those who have come and journeyed with us on earth, who the Lord has called home. That still leaves a void in our heart. It still leaves pain and agony. As we face this world with tears and with trembling. And God says, I'm going to make that new too. You'll have a relationship with me that you've never could have even imagined. You'll have a home that is perfect without trouble or trial. Your life will be restored. And you can have absolute confidence each and every day for all eternity. This is what He says, I will make it new. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Is there anything in that, when you think about it, though, that doesn't sound good? I ask that because I want us to be honest with ourselves. Is there anything about that fact when God says, I'm going to come again, I'm going to judge the living and the dead, and I'm going to make everything new, and I will abolish the world as you know it? Is there anything within you that says, hold on just a minute, there's something I really like and I want to hold on to as we have a little bit of fear? I think that comes when you think about the fear of death. There's things I want to accomplish still. What if He comes before I get a chance to do them? I want to walk my daughters down the aisle and give them away. I want to hold my grandchildren and be able to experience that joy. I want to be able to see all of those things happen. And when I think of the fact that God might come tomorrow and I might never get to experience those things, deep down in my heart, because sin wants to grab a hold of them, I say, Lord, come quickly, but not yet. Can you sympathize? Why? If God says, I'm going to make everything new and it's going to be better than you could ever imagine, why is it we hold on to those things? I can tell you why. It's because this world is all we've ever known. And the joys that we find in this life, we can't imagine there being anything beyond it, because this is all we've ever experienced and all we'll ever be able to know this side of heaven. And Satan wants very hard. He struggles and he strives to get you to think that this world is the best there's ever going to be. Don't look forward to eternity. Don't look forward to tomorrow. Stay focused here, because he knows if he can keep people focused on this life, we don't look to Jesus and we don't find a need for him and we lose the promise God has given. It's easy even for us to slip into that, isn't it? Don't let him. Don't look and see and say, well, you know, I have some things in this world I still want to accomplish. And I think I need to do those things before I get to go to heaven. When we get to heaven, it's going to be so great, we won't care. Because any joy that we could have experienced on this earth is going to be so overshadowed by the joy that we have in our new life with our Savior. There's comfort in that today, too, on this All Saints Day, as we think about those who have gone before us. And that's the whole point of All Saints Day. That's really the focus of it all, to look at those whom the Lord has called home. And a little while, we're going to have a chance in our prayers to remember those who are members at Christ over the last year who have been taken home. And I'm sure as we read that list, you'll have other people who come to your mind in the past, or maybe who weren't members, who were in the not-too-distant past. When we look to that and realize what they have now, it takes away all the sadness and the pain. Not maybe the loss, but we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about how they're doing, because God has made them new. Already, right now, they are new. Their relationship with God has been restored. Their home has been refurbished. Their life is eternal, free of pain and loss, and all they know is the presence of God, His love, and His grace. That is what we have in store for those who die in faith. And that is what we can say with confidence today for ourselves. We give thanks and praise to our God because He has made them new. And He'll do the same for us. Let's cling to this. Find our hope in this as we look forward to when our surest hope will be realized and God will make all things new. That gives us something to look forward to. You have something to look forward to. You can deal with kind of the problems of day-to-day life. I can get through this week. It's going to be torture, but I'm going on vacation come Tuesday. I think I can make it. When we have something to look forward to, it makes some of the drudgery easier. You have everything to look forward to. I think we can make it through this life as a result, because that's our surest hope. The Lord will make all things new. He has already for the saints who have been called home. Cling to that promise of our God. Amen.